Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring music, news, interviews, and events about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a world of egalitarianism, freedom, health, and peace for all. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station nor its management. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. In this episode, we're featuring a replay snippets of the recent webinar, Raising Vegan Dogs and Cats, presented by Northern Vegans. Northern Vegans is a group of compassionates in the Upper Peninsula in Michigan. They offer fun and educational events for the community. So we'll be hearing some of that within the webinar. And the webinar co-host is Lisa Levinson of In Defense of Animals.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this special event. I'm Lisa Levinson with In Defense of Animals. I'm here with Marlene Narrow, host of Vegan Nation. We are delighted to host Northern Vegans Raising Vegan Dogs and Cats panel discussion today. So Northern Vegans, founded in 2006, is located in the beautiful Upper Peninsula of Michigan. They have donated dozens and dozens of vegan-related media to local UP libraries throughout the years. In October of 2019, Northern Vegans hosted the Free the Animals Spectacular Vegan Carnival with singing, dancing, magic, juggling, comedy, balloon artistry, clowns, and yummy vegan pizza and desserts. No live animals were exploited and all of the food was vegan. Now, Marlene will introduce our wonderful panelists.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you. And a big welcome to our panelists. Dr. Armaiti May in Los Angeles, Matthew Sikora in Colorado, Diana Lavader Dunetz in Florida, Dr. Susan Craig in California. Now, each of them will tell us a little bit about themselves. Dr. May?
Thank you, Marlene. It's great to be here. And hello, everyone. My name is Armaiti May. I'm a practicing vegan veterinarian in Los Angeles. I have a house call practice for dogs and cats. I've been doing veterinary medicine now for over 15 years. I incorporate a combination of conventional medicine, Chinese herbs, acupuncture, homeopathy, laser treatments, essential oils, and other modalities as indicated for each patient that I treat. I also recommend wholesome plant-based nutrition when indicated, and I'm really happy to be here. I've been a vegan now for 21 years. I've been involved in vegan activism for just as long, and I have a nonprofit group that I started called the Veterinary Association for the Protection of Animals, or VAPA, and we bring awareness to the plight of animals and encourage people to adopt a vegan diet through documentary screenings and catered vegan dinner events. So it's great to be here and look forward to the panel discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. May. Diana?
Hey, everyone. It's really great to be here and to talk about this really important topic, and a topic that's really misunderstood by a lot of people, including vegans. And a little bit about myself. I have a master's degree in animal science, and I've been a canine nutritionist for over a decade. I've been vegetarian since 2009, and vegan since 2017. It was really when I became vegan in 2017 that my life transformed. For me, vegetarianism was the pathway to that. But when I became vegan, I realized that I could no longer formulate diets for dogs that contained any animal ingredients. It just was totally against everything I believed in. At the same time, I obviously wasn't going to harm any dogs by inappropriate nutrition. And I was actually ready to walk away from my business if it meant doing that. But fortunately, I didn't do that. I decided to do a lot of research. And what I came up with amazed me. Not only can dogs thrive on well-balanced vegan diets, plant-based diets, but it's likely the high meat diets that so many people are feeding today that are a huge causative factor in all of these skyrocketing cases of canine chronic disease, including cancer. So if you want to learn more about me, just visit plant empoweredog.com.
Thank you, Diana. And Matthew?
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be amongst so many wonderful people here. I started going down the vegan, I watched Forks Over Knives, and that was just a wake-up call. My family had a disease and running in the family, and I felt like I was next. And what I learned from Forks Over Knives just blew me away. So thankfully, social media kind of got me started, and I was exposed to some kind of dairy image, and I simply couldn't believe what I saw in the dairy. And so then we went vegan. And I do remember there was a point in time where someone had said on social media that dogs could be vegan, and I laughed. It seems like, you know, I just like that. That's the silliest thing I've ever heard. And now my dogs have been vegan for going on 8 or 9 years now and thriving better than ever. So that's my story. It started with health. I definitely, that allowed me to open the door in my mind for the ethics. And since then, I've tried to just share my experiences and testify to what the positive changes in my life. And my wife and I still hold today that it's our single best decision we've ever made in our lives was to go vegan.
Thank you, Matthew. Susan?
Good day, everyone from all over the world. It's great to be here. My doctorate is in educational leadership, and I'm a university faculty. I work with teachers, so I'm not a veterinarian or a physician. I am a longtime vegan, over 30 years. And that was for moral reasons, that my reason for going vegan was to not participate in violence towards any beings. So I started with cats, and my cats have been fully vegan for about 6 years. And my dogs, I began bringing in some rescued dogs. I began becoming a dog mom about 5.5 years ago. And my dogs, I have 6 dogs. They've all been vegan since being with me. So I have 6 dogs and 4 cats. All are fully vegan.
We just heard the introductions from the 4 panelists at the recent webinar, Raising Vegan Dogs and Cats, presented by Northern Vegans in the Upper Peninsula in Michigan. In this episode of Vegan Nation, I am including edited snippets of the 2-hour webinar. Raising Vegan Dogs and Cats is a holistic perspective. Therefore, it's not just food, not just about plant-based vegan food for dogs and cats. It's about the whole philosophy of veganism, which is intentional harmlessness, normalized nonviolence, inclusive compassion, and non-discriminatory justice. Therefore, Raising Vegan Dogs and Cats is inclusive about the vegan philosophy of adopting, not shopping for animals, and not buying from breeders. And we'll also be discussing holistic health medical modalities. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene Narrow in Worcester, Massachusetts. Dr. May?
Thank you, Marlene. There are about 163 million dogs and cats living in the United States. And if they were their own country, they would actually be the 5th largest meat-eating country on the planet. That's a really alarming statistic, especially considering that the U.S. has, the human population of the U.S. already is consuming vast amounts of animal products. So I definitely think it's important to educate people about the benefits of plant-based diets for the planet, for compassion to animals, and also for the health benefits, which we'll get into more.
What supplements do dogs and cats need when being raised on a vegan diet? Dr. May?
Thank you, Marlene. So if one is raising a dog or a cat on a nutritionally complete vegan diet that is already completely balanced, there's not any need for supplementation. I'm going to just show a few sample brands that have vegan formulas. Halo vegan formula, completely balanced and complete for dogs. Natural Balance vegetarian formula. Nature's Recipe also has a vegetarian vegan formula. Evolution, which was mentioned earlier. V-Dog, Benevo, and Avoderm, Gather. There are quite a few for dogs, actually. And so all of these have the full range of nutrients that dogs require to be healthy. And for cats, they're fewer in number, but there are still Almicat, Beneva, and Evolution that are nutritionally complete and balanced for cats. Now, if someone is going to home cook, I recommend this book by Dr. Richard Pitcairn, the fourth edition of the Complete Guide to Natural Health for Dogs and Cats. It has recipes you can make at home. And if that's the case, you do want to add in a supplement, which you can order from CompassionCircle.com. And there are specific supplements for cats, kittens, puppies, and adult dogs, depending on what life stage they're in, that can be added into the recipe that's made to make it a nutritionally complete and balanced meal. There are some dogs who are pickier about certain foods. So it's important to try different options if they're not taking to the first food that's tried. Just like as we vegan humans may not enjoy all brands of almond milk or soy milk, we have to try different brands sometimes before we find one that agrees with us or that we find delicious to drink. And same with other vegan food items that, you know, we consume. So dogs also have their individual tastes and preferences. So it's important to be patient and transition them gradually to help minimize any upset GI symptoms such as vomiting or diarrhea. If the swift change is made without enough of a transition for animals who are more predisposed to that, there can be some loose stool or inappetence sometimes, but definitely gradually over the course of 1 to 2 weeks, ideally transitioning them if they're accustomed to a meat-based diet can help them transition, and adding in nutritional yeast flakes when they're not as apt to eat it without that, which is actually healthier too, because it has the B vitamins and it has a great cheesy flavor. So there are a lot of options for them, but I think it is an individual case-by-case basis how well a certain dog will respond to a particular formula.
Yeah, that's the really kind of wonderful part about all of this is we're doing it, you know, because we don't want to harm other animals, but it's absolutely 1,000% the healthiest track for our canine companions, assuming that we're giving them a complete and balanced diet.
We're listening to Diana Lavader-Dunetz, and Diana is one of the four panelists at the recent webinar, Raising Vegan Dogs and Cats. You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue on with the webinar, Raising Vegan Dogs and Cats, that was recently held April 17th, 2021. Please join us on Vegan Nation, right here on WCUW 91.3 FM, every Thursday, 4:30 p.m. Vegan Nation features local, national, and international news, events, interviews, and music on the vegan lifestyle. Listen worldwide at WCUW.org. Worcester Community Radio, serving Central Massachusetts and the globe. Thanks for tuning in.
What's the deal with this station?
This is community radio. Do what you want
to
do.
I listen to WAAF, and then I turn the dial, and I get this station, and I'm freaking out.
This is community radio.
Hi, this is Celia Woodsmith of Delamay, urging you to support community radio WCUW Worcester with a pledge of support to 508-753-2284.
Thank you for your support of community radio, and thank you for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow in Worcester, Massachusetts. We're featuring audio snippets of the recent webinar, Raising Vegan Dogs and Cats, presented by Northern Vegans in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Please visit northernvegans.com for the full two-hour webinar. This presented here is an edited, shortened version.
Inherently, plant-based diets are cleaner, healthier, lower in toxins. And we know that one of the cornerstones of health is minimizing toxin exposure. When we consider that cancer is an epidemic for dogs and very high for cats as well, 50% of dogs and 40% of cats suffer from cancer these days, it makes sense to reduce their toxin exposure through minimizing the food toxins they're eating.
And Susan?
For my dogs, it's Evolution Wild Earth. V-Dog, for my cats, it's Evolution and AmiCat. For supplementation, I use nutritional yeast. Evolution has some delicious flavors of nutritional yeast. I will put in a cranberry supplement called Cranimals. It's cranberry powder. You can also get whole cranberries from Evolution or buy your own and dry them out and make powder. I found that a little tricky to do, but you can do it yourself. And as mentioned, you got the Veggie Dog and Veggie Cat supplements from Compassion Circle.
What disturbing things that can be found in commercial meat-based pet foods? Do they still use euthanized cats and dogs in commercial meat-based pet foods? Diana?
Thanks, Marlene. So yeah, there's a lot of disturbing things that are found in meat-based pet foods. It's basically the lowest quality on the slaughterhouse floor is what's going to our companion animals. And, you know, I learned something that astounded even me, and I thought I knew a lot about this, but in 2019, I got together 17 of the leading vegan vets and scientists and nutritionists, including Dr. May, and we talked about these types of things for the Plant Powered Dog Food Summit. And one of the things that I learned is that if you have, like, for example, a cow with a cancerous tumor, first of all, I didn't know at that time that when they cut the tumor out and toss it on the floor, they can still put that into the human food system. But I also learned that tumor, where do you think it goes? It goes into pet food. The Environmental Working Group has found carcinogenic levels of fluoride in foods with bone meal and other meals. The 4D animals, dead, diseased, dying, and disabled. You know, our dogs and cats in pet food, obviously they're not supposed to be. I do believe that they have found them in there before, but obviously they're not supposed to be, but I think that things like that have been found in pet foods.
Dr. May, and are you familiar with the Cats Thrive on a Vegan Diet in peer-reviewed study, and another one in 2021, Vegan Cat Study by BMC Veterinary Research?
Thank you, Marlene. There's a great need for further study always, especially with cat health in terms of dogs. Dogs are omnivores and they can thrive on a whole plant-based vegan diet as long as it's nutritionally complete and balanced. So dogs have been living with humans for thousands of years, and they have adapted to eating plants, and they can thrive on that. I've visited India, and I've seen dogs eating plant matter, chapatis, all kinds of grains, and they're existing in harmony with nature in that environment. In fact, there are entire vegetarian cities in India where dogs live. So we know that, and in Thailand also, I have a colleague out of Australia who has fed dogs and cats vegan food in Thailand and India. So we know that this can be done from these large case studies. There are some more formal scientific studies that have been done as well. There was a study on dogs on a meat-free diet by measuring their complete blood count and showing that they did have adequate energy for exercising being on this plant-based diet. There's also a study that's just now been completed out of Western University College of Veterinary Medicine in Pomona, California, that will be published very soon. And it's shown some very encouraging results with dogs on plant-based diets as well. There are some other vegan vets out there who are supportive or at least understanding of dogs and cats being on vegan diets. If you find that you'd rather find a vet who is more supportive, who's not in your area, you can always contact me. I can speak with your vet and help them understand some of the science behind this as well. And my website is veganvet.net. Anyone who wants to have an individual phone or Skype consultation with me.
Thank you, Dr. May. Matthew?
Another argument I did want to explore in our own minds was that it's very alarming for many of us, vegan and non-vegan, who care about our pets, the idea that dogs and cats could or would have or have ever been used in that food supply chain for other companion animals. And it's disturbing because we can connect with these pets and we can identify with them and we know that they feel pain and we know that they suffer and we know that they love. And so it becomes just like a pull in our gut, the idea that this could happen. And but when you take that same process and you allow your mind to just kind of go there, and you go a little bit deeper and you realize, well, why would it be any different that we're allowing that to happen to cows or pigs or chickens or any of the other animals that are used for food, for either human or non-human animals or companion animals? My dog, Vegan, or Happy here, has been vegan for 8 or 9 years. And he's 11 or 10 and a half now. And he's still like a puppy. And he every day he comes home and he runs.
We're listening to Matthew Sikora, a vegan activist in Colorado who has 2 happy, healthy dogs on a vegan diet. And now we'll conclude the episode today featuring the Raising Vegan Dogs and Cats webinar. And we'll close with Dr. May discussing more of holistic health, not just about a diet concerning food, but all aspects of holistic veganism. Dr. May.
There actually is a patient of mine right now who suffered an adverse vaccine reaction, a puppy, upon receiving his 4th distemper parvo vaccine by another veterinarian. He began having some chattering of his teeth, which interestingly is one of the signs that one may observe with the distemper disease itself, but not the full range of symptoms was experienced by this dog. And I have him on a homeopathic remedy. I don't make homeopathic recommendations on a across the board basis. It's not a well understood modality here in the United States because unfortunately that's been squashed by the pharmaceutical industry over time. They've favored surgical and pharmaceutical interventions over homeopathy, which has led to a cascade of problems, you know, the shutdowns of homeopathy schools, the maligning of homeopathy as a medical practice, but it has a lot of applications for humans and non-human animals. It's offered in all sorts of countries around the world, India, Mexico, Germany, you know, many countries that have utilized it for a wide variety of medical conditions successfully. So yes, there are vegan options available. There are also the majority of the Chinese herbs are plant-based. There are also some Western herbs that can be used for different things. So there's a plethora of options. If people are trying to find a holistic vet, depending on where you live, you can look at ahvma.org. That's the American Holistic Veterinary Medical Association website, and search based on your location for a holistic vet. May or may not be a vegan vet, but you can educate them about veganism. So they can educate you about holistics and vice versa. So it's a good thing to continue to spread our vegan message while learning about other options that we may not have known about.
Thank you. The other 2 questions. One is, what ingredients are in vaccines that are not vegan? And for a vaccine to be FDA approved, does that mean that it's tested on animals?
In the current vaccine scenario, it's not a true vaccine. The COVID shots are actually experimental gene modification injections, and they're marketed as biologics. So that exempts them from safety testing, unfortunately. So they're not held under the same rigor as normal pharmaceutical drugs, even in terms of the level of safety testing that's required. And in this instance, with the COVID shots that are being rolled out currently, they are not actually FDA approved as such. They use the term emergency use authorization to designate an authorization for them to be used given what they claim is a imminent need under this quote unquote emergency. But you know, that is a bit of a long discussion to be had for what we're talking about here. But you know, it is something that they can deviate from those standards. Animal testing is often used, unfortunately, in vaccine development. And in this particular instance, although these vaccines, who knows what's all in them? It's not something that we have complete knowledge of, but there are concerns about aborted fetal tissue being sourced as a base for culturing the vaccines, as well as dog kidney cells, mice cells, all kinds of animal-derived tissue bases that are used for the basis for these vaccines. And there's a lot I could say about vaccines, but I think overall less is more in terms of health and longevity for humans and non-humans. The fewer the better, honestly. So if one can avoid them, that would be what I would recommend. If it's a situation where a dog has to get a rabies shot to get a license, that's understandable. You know, it's a dilemma. I won't say that it's a perfect scenario, because it's not. There is a veterinarian, Dr. John Robb, who has a group called Protect the Pets, which you can go to protectthepets.com and learn about what he's talking about. And yes, there are titer testing options available, which I do offer to clients if they're interested in that. We can do a blood test to check antibody levels in lieu of boostering a particular shot. There is the option to do that for the rabies test and the rabies vaccine. When I was in vet school, of course, I had my rabies shot. This was before I was as knowledgeable about vaccinosis, which is harm that comes from a vaccine. That is actually a term that describes the different types of issues, whether they are autoimmune disorders, as was mentioned earlier, the dog had autoimmune hemolytic anemia, or cancer, any number of allergy issues that can pop up that could be related to over vaccination. So if people want to avoid those problems, then I think checking the titer level, like I had my titer checked. I had to be vaccinated for rabies in order to become a veterinarian. And then I didn't have it boosted because I didn't want to expose my body to more toxins. And I had my blood checked about 10 years ago. The titers were more than sufficient. So there's not been any reason to rebooster my rabies vaccine. So when I look at what happens to animals, I also care about their health. I don't want them to be unnecessarily boosted either. And I want to have people make that decision, understanding there are risks and benefits to both scenarios. But if the dog does bite someone, it can lead to a big legal nightmare. And that's what someone has to make an informed decision about. Now, I can provide a certificate of immunity based upon a titer result, but whether that will be considered valid by the authorities is a whole nother question. And ultimately, what this whole conversation leads to is a need for people to make their voices heard, because as soon as people gather together and voice their concerns to community officials and those who make these decisions, then we can affect positive changes. But if it's just kept to, you know, one's own individual decision and not influencing society at large, then we're all kind of struggling with these issues without getting to where, you know, we'd like to go with them.
We're listening to Dr. Armaiti May, a vegan veterinarian in Los Angeles, one of the panelists at the recent Raising Vegan Dogs and Cats webinar presented by Northern Vegans in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow, in Worcester, Massachusetts. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. Please join us again next week at the same time. This is Marlene wishing you a good day.
Fear is what drives harmful behavior. Let love guide you towards justice on this day. Yeah, because I want to be happy, safe, and free. Just be happy, safe, and free every day.
This is Ernesto, the liberation song.
Ooh, yeah.